Blog Talk Radio.
If I knew then what I know now, no, I wouldn't change much of anything anyhow. It was 50-50, and I won the coin toss when you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International and is made possible by our sponsors, Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. Today, we have Dr. Ted Brown on the show with us. Dr. Brown received his MD at Harvard, followed by an internship at PMNR residency at the University of Washington, a Master's of Public Health at UC Berkeley, and most recently, a fellowship in multiple sclerosis, that's MS, at University of Washington. He is board-certified member of the American Board of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. He has been working in the field of MS since 2003. He is the director of neurorehabilitation at Evergreen Health MS Center, Evergreen Health Neuroscience Institute in Kirkland, Washington. His clinical emphasis is on maximizing function and mobility for patients with MS. Often MS patients, as we all know, become considerably disabled, and their management involves a team approach, kind of like we have in Huntington's disease. It is the physician who leads the team, orders medications, and marshals the rehabilitation and referral services, counseling, equipment provisions, and exercise prescription for patients. Dr. Brown's research interests are in clinical trials and rehabilitation for people with MS. He has had numerous research studies over the last 5 years, including trials. This is really exciting for us because there's this new trial that they're trying at Evergreen, and it is on laughter therapy. And what is better than laughter in this world? Probably nothing. So we are really excited to have Dr. Brown with us today to talk to us about this really exciting study going on at Evergreen with people that are living with different neurological conditions. So welcome to the show, Dr. Brown.
Thank you very much, Katie, and thank you to all the listeners.
Yes, and just to let our listeners know, there's a little bit of construction going on at Evergreen today, and it's right above Dr. Brown's head. So if you hear a little bit of a background noise, that's what it is. But we will get through it, and I don't hear anything right now, so we are doing
the end. No, it's quiet for the moment, so please just laugh it off if there's some noise.
Yes. Yes. So tell us a little bit about your background and a little bit about your work at Evergreen Hospital.
That would be my pleasure. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, and Sacramento, California. And while I was in college, I did some introspection to try to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I discovered that what I was most interested in life was people. And what I liked about people was the kind of underdog and fighting spirit of some people. I noticed when I watched sporting shows, I was always cheering for the underdog. Whatever team was picked to lose, I'd be cheering for them. So then when I went to medical school, I found myself really drawn to people living with chronic disability and particularly neurological problems. And so that's why I set out on a career in what's called physical medicine and rehabilitation, because there's a lot of disability out there, and there's a lot that we can do, mostly working with a team approach. It's not just about the doctors. It's the physical therapists and occupational therapists and the people who make equipment for people living with disability. And now there's such great technology coming along as well that it's sort of like a brave new world in dealing with neurological disability.
Yes, definitely. And so what brought you to Evergreen?
Well, it's kind of been a long, interesting journey here. After my residency, which was in physical medicine rehabilitation, I was interested in working overseas. I was trained in working with people with disability, and I wound up finding a position at a leprosy hospital in northern Thailand. And it was also a general rehab center, so it was about half leprosy and half people with stroke, spinal cord injury, and and brain injury, a lot of automobile and motorcycle accidents there. And I worked there for 9 years. So a lot of neurological disability that I was seeing, but different sorts of conditions. And we didn't have all the resources that we have in the United States. After I came back, then I did a multiple sclerosis fellowship where we were blessed with a comprehensive rehabilitation team and exciting new medications coming in. And I've stayed in the field of multiple sclerosis since that time.
Wow, that's amazing. And so let's talk about laughter therapy. What is laughter therapy?
Okay, well, laughter therapy combines laughter with breathing and body exercises. It's sometimes called laughter yoga. This practice began in India. It was developed by a medical doctor there named Madan Kataria. He developed simple exercises using playfulness, eye contact, and chanting forms of laughter. Initially, he would get together with a group of people in a park, and this caught on, and they got more and more people, and it began to spread in India. And now it's practiced today in about 100 countries. In the area where I'm living, in Seattle area, there are at least 14 different laughter yoga classes that are offered. And then laughter therapy is more focused on people who have some illness and trying to relieve symptoms with that.
Sure.
Typically, a session of laughter therapy involves a group of people performing simulated laughter. And that's important that it's not telling a lot of jokes and humor, although it is funny and it gets people laughing spontaneously, but you're actually doing laughter exercises to get your brain can command your body to do simulated laughter, and your body sort of responds to that as if you're having a grand time and really enjoying yourself. You can do this sitting or standing. At our hospital, the laughter therapy program is done typically with people who are seated, as many of our participants have been unable to walk. So I could give a few examples, if you want, of some of the laughter exercises, Katie.
Well, I would love for you to, because it's funny, when I first heard about your study, I was so excited, but I didn't really understand what it meant, and then I was able to watch this great video of you on a news segment, and I actually shared that link as well, so people really could watch what it is. But I would love for you to, because once I saw it, I really understood what was going on, so I would love some examples for you to do some laughter therapy with us right now.
Okay.
On the show.
I'm not a trained therapist, so that's kind of my excuse if I don't do a very good job with this. But typically what will happen in one of the classes is that there will be an instructor, and he or she will talk to people and get everyone kind of relaxed and in the mood, and then they'll start a few exercises. And one of the first ones that they might do is they'd say, okay, everyone, bring your hands up to your face, and now we want you to just laugh with your mouth. So it's going to be like a hee 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 hee. And then now move your hands to your chest. Put your hands on your chest and let's do a nice chest laugh like this. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha. So feeling those your chest expanding as you're laughing. And they'll do it for a little bit longer time than I'm going through it now. And now put your hands on your belly, and let's give a good belly laugh. So you're really laughing with those muscles in your belly like this. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho. It's got me laughing right there.
I know. It makes you want to laugh. Even
good.
And you can feel your body almost as I'm listening to you. I can feel my body. Actually, I'm not making the sounds, but just listening, I'm feeling my body doing these contractions, which is so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a little bit of an exercise. You might get kind of sort of out of breath from doing that, and that's good. We want people to kind of use their breathing muscles and put some effort into that. The louder they can laugh, the better.
Right. That's so interesting. So you don't actually have to be, this will probably put you into laughter, but you don't have to start laughing.
Right. It's not starting with jokes. And like the instructor who we work with gave me a list of 130 different laughter exercises that they might go through. And they're not going to cover probably more than about 10 in a given session, but then they can vary it from one meeting to another so that people don't get bored of doing the same exercises. And some of them are really pretty funny. Like, well, there's one that's a evil laughter. The instructor will say, okay, now everyone think of someone who's really evil in their laughter. The evil person on a TV show, usually they have the strongest laugh of anyone. And so you might think of a mad scientist or an evil witch or something like that, and how they cackle. And then you try to do that, and that usually gets people laughing.
Oh, definitely. Yes. This is so interesting. And it just seems like such a fun therapy. I mean, all these therapies are so, and clinical studies and stuff seem so, you know, like just in the word clinical, it's hard. People are, you know, it's long days, but this is just so, it's such a fresh breath. I mean, it's a breath of fresh air to me that mm-hmm. it's just, and just think of
total
the benefits.
Participation too. You've got to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So let's talk about the benefits of laughter therapy. What benefits have they found?
Well, so it's been done in healthy people, and that's mostly the laughter yoga, where it tends to just kind of lighten the mood. But I have a list of studies that have been done, and most of them have been in non-neurological settings. For example, laughter and humor therapy in dialysis, or for breast cancer survivors, or in a geriatric population, or for postpartum fatigue and stress, you know, about postpartum depression. So it tends to be focused on mood, but there have been studies where they've looked at pain relief, studies in diabetes to see if it would improve their diabetic control. And the list goes on and on, and more studies are coming out all the time. Most of the studies have not been in neurological settings. There's very little that has been done there. And that's why we became interested in looking at this in neurological populations, to try to fill in a gap in what's known about the potential benefits of laughter therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and this is interesting to me because the, you know, with I know when my husband was diagnosed with Huntington's disease, you know, we went as a family through, obviously, depression, knowing that, you know, my husband was now terminally ill and what he was going to have to go through and what we were going to have to go through as a family. And so I feel like that you get these, you know, not only from the neurological condition, but just knowing that, I think laughter therapy as a family unit would probably be very helpful for some of the depression, maybe that the family, it
yeah.
could be like a family kind of practice.
That's a great point, Katie. The first time I went to laughter yoga, I brought my 6-year-old son along, and I was kind of worried, like, is he too young for this? But no, not at all. It's something really that the whole family can enjoy, and I think it can help to relieve everyone's stress, because HD is a very stressful thing for the whole family and for family members who may not be affected by it, but they're affected by their loved one having it. So,
right.
And with our laughter therapy program, we like to have family members or caregivers participate as well.
Yeah, and I would imagine that this would be very beneficial to the caregiver as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also with we have a juvenile form of Huntington's disease, and part of me wonders if the children would benefit, you know, because they deal with pain and all this, and I wonder if the children would benefit from laughter therapy. I think everyone would benefit from laughter therapy.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Now, I haven't really come across a study done in a pediatric population. It just shows either how limited my search has been, or that there's just so much work to be done looking at laughter therapy in different settings.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and we all know that when children are ill, they're going to suffer from depression and pain and so many different symptoms that illness will bring on. And so something like this may be really, really beneficial for pediatrics.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention that if laughter therapy isn't available in an organized way where you're living, if you search online in one of the popular video searches, you'll find that there are literally thousands of videos about laughter yoga or laughter therapy, and you can look at some of those and take your pick and just do the laughter therapy along with the instructor on the video.
Yeah. Well, working with neurodegenerative diseases, what do you think possible benefits for someone with a neurodegenerative disease would have from laughter therapy?
There's some definite potential benefits in terms of mood. At Evergreen, where I work, that's a community hospital in Kirkland, Washington, we started this out kind of exploring it, and we found an instructor, brought her on, explained about our interest in neurological diseases, and asked her to craft a laughter therapy program that would work for people who might not be able to do some of the upright ambulatory activities that she might do in a different setting. Then we had her try it out with a couple of free courses over about a year, and we got evaluations from our patients who participated, and they were about a third MS, a third Parkinson's disease, and a third other neurological conditions. And what we saw in those just simple questionnaires were people were saying, this is helping my mood. I'm feeling a little bit lighter coming out of there, and it's just kind of lifting spirits. So I think that's something that we're now exploring in our current study. But beyond that, I think there's also potential benefits in terms of breathing, getting those breathing muscles going to improve someone's breathing. With more advanced neurological disease, that can really be affected. There might be benefits in terms of pain. Laughter seems to produce endorphins. Endorphins are our natural painkillers. And so by laughing, I think it might just ease the pain. As they say, laughter is the best medicine.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get up to Evergreen and meet you guys. This is so fun. I want to talk about the caregiver a little bit because we kind of touched on that, but there are going to be, and I'm sure you touched on it kind of in the last question as well, but what are you finding with the caregivers? How are they feeling about being a part of this study?
I think it's been very positive, and sometimes it really takes their encouragement to keep the participant going with this, because there's sort of an initial embarrassment when you're laughing with a group of people who you don't know, because it does break down barriers, and so that takes a little bit of getting used to. Sometimes we have people who go one session, they say, you know, I just didn't feel comfortable because I'm so unused to laughing out loud with people who I don't know. But I think caregivers can kind of help someone to get through that and laughing together, and so that they don't feel as if they're among strangers, but they're with someone else. And for the caregiver, I think seeing their loved one there doing this laughter is just a very positive thing for them to see, that here's something that they're doing where they seem to be getting a kick out of it.
I didn't even think about that. I mean, I know if I was doing this with my husband, I think I would really enjoy seeing him laugh, because I don't see that very often anymore with him, you know, heading into the final stages of Huntington's disease. I don't get to see that. So I think that as a caregiver, that would bring me a lot of joy to see my husband laugh.
Need the caregivers to kind of, you know, the instructor can't do it all alone. She's got to get some enthusiasm from the people she's working with, because,
sure,
you know, it's a very upbeat thing to do, and it sort of takes a fair amount of energy, because there's a lot of positive energy flowing in those laughter therapy sessions. And so the more that the participants and their loved ones or caregivers can put into it, kind of the better the vibe that gets going and people coming away with it feeling like they've really had a great experience.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about the study itself, like who's enrolling and a little bit of those details.
So we wrote up a protocol. Actually, I wrote the protocol for this study, And we got funding to do a study from the Evergreen Foundation, which is connected to our institution. Since there hasn't been much work in neurological conditions with laughter therapy, we decided that we would be more inclusive. And so instead of saying we're just going to study this in one neurological disease, we decided that we would accept most central nervous system diseases. And so we've had people participating already with MS, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, ALS, one person with Huntington's disease, spinal cord injury, and that's sort of a variety, and stroke, if I didn't mention that. So we're including a kind of a broad range of people with neurological diseases. The study is an open label trial. So that means that we're not having a control group. Everybody gets the intervention because obviously we can't have people blinded. They're going to know that they're attending the sessions. And we're using pre and post comparison. So we're measuring a lot of different things before they start and then again at the end to see what impact we've had. This includes measures of depression, anxiety, perceived stress, breathlessness. Does that improve the sense of breathlessness? A measure of fatigue. We have a caregiver questionnaire regarding their depression and the patient's depression. And then we have a question about self-confidence. You know, when you do this laughing out loud, it sort of makes you feel a little bit more comfortable being, you know, laughing out in public and being jovial instead of kind of being a little bit more guarded. So we're hoping that we'll see something right there. The study that we're doing, it involves 8 sessions with an instructor. So people come in, it's about 50 minutes long. They go through this laughter therapy, and there's some discussion and conversation between these exercises so that people don't just get breathless from doing it too continuously. And then they meet again, and at the end of the 8 sessions, we wrap it up, and they fill out questionnaires, and we're going to look and see what sorts of benefits we get. We're about 2/3 of the way through now. We're just wrapping up our second session, but we'll have one more, which we're planning to start in September.
Fantastic. And I love it. I hear that there's an HD patient in the study. I'm really, really interested to hear about when the outcomes come out, how that went, and also the caregiver, I'm assuming, is in the study as well, because you need a caregiver in this study. Is that correct? You do need a caregiver in this study.
Well, no, it's not a requirement. You do not.
It's not a requirement. Okay.
Family members and caregivers are welcome, but there is a question where if there's not a caregiver there, we ask them to have someone else fill out that questionnaire, but people can come unaccompanied. That's okay to these sessions. Wanted to mention, Katie, that actually initially I had really wondered, should we include people with Huntington's disease in this? And fortunately, I work with some colleagues who are treating people with Huntington's disease, and we have some research coordinators who have some experience doing research in that. And I asked them, and they said, absolutely, you should try to include them. And so I think it's worked out quite well. And we hope that in the future there will be more work in laughter therapy with Huntington's disease.
Yes, me too. And you do have such a great team up there with Dr. Goodman and Dr. Bird, and you guys have a powerhouse team. And you guys have a very large Huntington's population in the area. So I think that it's fantastic that it's open for them to get involved with if they choose to do so. So if there are listeners on here that live in the Northwest, how do they get involved in this study? How do they contact you?
Or your clinical trial. We're still enrolling for this study. We're still enrolling for this study. They can call Evergreen Health. One phone number is 425-899-5393. 425-899-5393. That's the research coordinator for this study. Her name is Jana. Or 425-899-5393. 5385 is a general incoming call for the research department where someone can leave a message as well. I do want to mention that there are a few things that could interfere with participation or make it unsafe to do laughter therapy. These exclusions would be if someone was suffering from severe abdominal or chest pain, if they had a productive cough, if they had recent abdominal surgery or severe hemorrhoids, or epilepsy or severe mental illness or psychosis. We'll be doing this, the next round will be in September, so hopefully if someone has some of those issues, that might possibly resolve by that time.
Right. Especially the cough or something of that sort. But
mm-hmm.
that makes sense,
yes.
Because you are using those muscles for sure.
Yes.
Well, fantastic. Do you have any final thoughts for us, Dr. Brown? I just want to let everyone know that we actually are coming to Evergreen Hospital on April 22nd for a Help for HD International Patient Education Day. And we are really excited because Julie is going to be there with us, who is your clinical trial coordinator, Dr. Brown?
Well, so Julie is our instructor. So she's going to, the people who attend her, be prepared to do a little laughter yoga right there in the audience, because Julie will definitely want to have some audience participation in some laughter yoga. Her name is Julie Plott Warwick, and if you searched her, I think you'd see some videos that she has done as well.
Yeah, we are really excited.
My final thoughts are, you know, here's just one of these things that we've all been, as humans, we're blessed with this ability to laugh. And too often we forget the importance of laughter and finding humor in the things that we do every day. We should all do our best to laugh all the time. And if it takes doing an exercise, that's okay. Let's all keep laughing, and hopefully we'll learn more about this therapy and how it kind of fits into an overall wellness program for everyone.
Yes, and I love things like this. You know, we obviously drugs and therapies are the compounds and things are very, very important for quality of life, but we can't forget these things too, laughter. And different exercises and different things like that are important for our loved ones as well. So thank you so much for coming on the show today with us, Dr. Brown. We are really excited to head up to the Northwest up there and get to meet Julie. And she has agreed to lead us in a laughter therapy session. So we are excited. And so for anybody that wants to attend that event on April 22nd, it's from 9 to 3. And you guys can, for more information, you can just email me at katie@helpforhd.org, and I will send you all of that info. And, of course, it's on all websites and everything as well. So thank you so much, Dr. Brown. And we will look forward to coming up north to see you guys soon. I'm going to wrap up the show now. We're going to talk about some headline news real quick, and then I will let you guys go for the evening. Members of Henley freshman, junior, varsity, and varsity teams will be tackling Huntington's disease with a fundraiser that will go to Huntington's disease research. The event has members from the baseball team stretched from four different locations, and they are actually going to be hitting the streets raising money for Huntington's disease. So that's really cool to hear of high school students doing that. On Help for HD International side, Sacramento area folks, in March 18th, we are hosting a education day at the Falls in Elk Grove. And we have amazing speakers. It's where we are launching our new HIGHT program, which is our highly interactive participant education. The focus is new HD, which is navigating unexpected events in Huntington's disease. We are going to get interactive together. So we will have a panel of professionals that will help with this session. And we as a community will be making, writing fictitious scenarios about things that could happen with our loved ones or our families. And the professionals, along with our other caregivers in the audience, will help us work through those scenarios. I think this is going to be really beneficial to all of us. I think we're going to learn a lot from each other as well as the professionals, and I think the professionals will learn a little bit from us as well. That the first one is, like I said, March 18th in Sacramento, and then our second one is April 22nd at Evergreen in Kirkland, Washington. On May 20th, we are heading out to Atlanta, Georgia, and we will have one there. August 19th, we are going to Iowa, Nebraska area. And then in September, we are coming to Texas, Baylor area. We are so excited to see all of our community in those areas and offer our new HYPE program. I think that is it for now. I will wrap up the show. Join us next week to talk to Jason Evans, who is an amazing, amazing person, hikes miles and miles and miles for Huntington's disease. We are going to talk about all that he has done to raise awareness and funds. Until then, everyone have a safe night.